Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Fib, flim-flam, slander, fraud, call it what you will, but it's fair to say that human beings are capable of lying in a number of ways. While our philosophical struggle with moral truth dates back to the ancient Greeks, it's a relatively new consideration for digital technology designers. Think about it for a moment. Is technology honest? When does technology lie to us and how? And is all dishonest design necessarily bad? Those are some of the questions Kate Green poses in an article for Pacific Standard Magazine called How Should We Program Computers to Deceive? Kate Green, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with some examples. Where may we have encountered deceptive technology without even realizing it?
Well, it's actually all around. And one of the more common examples is in placebo buttons. And if you haven't heard of these, you should probably know about them. They are these buttons that appear in elevators and also at crosswalks. And sometimes they just don't do anything. So you press the elevator close button and the elevator door doesn't close. It just goes on its own time. And you press a crosswalk button and it gives you some indication that you've pressed it, yes, but the actual crosswalk isn't set up to respond to the button press. It's more set up to respond to a timer. And so these buttons are deceptive in their design. They present themselves as a physical object that performs some function, but they don't actually do anything at all. And it's the idea is to basically give a person something to do, to calm them, to make them think that they have a sense of agency when they don't really.
Wow, that is fascinating. I actually didn't know about the placebo button and had never thought of them. Can you give us more examples of this kind of deceptive technology?
Sure. I mean, if you think about the computer that you use every day, you have a graphical user interface. It's really hiding a world of complex code behind it. And it's a form of deception. It's not really presenting the full picture to you. And this is a sort of deception that's benevolent. So this isn't so bad. We don't want to be inundated with the complexity of the computer code that's, you know, working behind the scenes. And so that's one example. But then there are others. Progress bars when you're uploading or downloading files oftentimes don't have any real association to reality.
So deceptive technology can make us feel calmer, as you said, make us feel a little bit more in control. Is there any evidence of other kinds of benefits?
Well, one example is to help us overcome our own preconceived limits. So one technological example is a robot that's designed to it's a rehabilitation robot that's designed to underreport the force that you exert. So if you have an arm injury or recovering from arm surgery and you need to get back in shape, you might not think that you can press a lever as hard as you actually can. And so when the robot or the interface underreports your force, you kind of exceed what you think you can do. And this is the same thing that happens when you're working with a personal trainer or a coach of some sort, and they cover up the treadmill display. And so you don't know how fast you're going. You just kind of put some faith in the trainer that their actions are meant to help you achieve your goals.
I can see, okay, you've got a human being who's a trainer who's saying, come on, push harder. You're not pushing hard enough. A robot doing the same kinds of thing and maybe getting the same results. But is there a difference between a deceptive machine and some deceptive human? Somehow it feels just more sinister that a machine would be lying to us.
Oh, certainly. And this just has to do with the way that we interact with technology today. So there's a scientific trope of machines that turn evil and turn against their human creators, you know, this Frankenstein fear. And right now, I think that we're pretty far away from that. But the fact of the matter is we are designing deception into our technology for better or for worse. There just isn't a loud conversation around it. And it's a conversation that should be happening because if we aren't thinking about the question of how do you program these things to be moral and ethically sound, you know, questions of how you integrate deception into the interface, then I think that there could be some problems.
So this is an active conversation among designers?
Well, it's not really. And that's what was so exciting for me. I came across this paper that was published last year, a paper called Benevolent Deception in Human-Computer Interaction. It was presented at the Computer-Human Interface Conference, the big one that happens every year. And it was written by Eten Adar of University of Michigan, Desney Tan of Microsoft, and Jamie Tavan of Microsoft. And these three researchers decided to kind of look at all the possible types of deception that they found in technology today. And of course, it ranged from the benevolent, like we discussed earlier, to the malevolent. So these are the pop-up ads or the sort of interface technologies that that trick you into doing something you wouldn't want to do that only benefit the designer. Mm-hmm. And the it was just a compendium of all these deceptive designs, you know, for good or for bad. And so it was these researchers who wanted to get the conversation going, because designers, by and large, believe that honesty is the best policy when it comes to design. And that dates back to Dieter Rams, who's a designer for Braun. And in the 1970s, he had his, you know, 10 principles of what good design is. And honesty was on there. And so the fact of the matter is, though, designers aren't always honest, but they don't want to talk about it. And so if we can just get the conversation to be a little bit more honest in and of itself, then maybe we can approach it from a more systematic way, or something that really, from a way that really considers the consequences of this kind of design.
We're talking with the San Francisco-based writer Kate Green. She writes a lot about technology and science, about deceptive technology. Has technology changed the way we lie? I think it certainly has given us plenty of different excuses.
Right. So we feel like we're constantly connected. So many of us feel like we're constantly connected. And if someone asks us, where are you? You know, you feel an obligation to respond in a text. I'm on my way. That's a sort of very simple example of, are you really on your way? Well, I'm close enough. So that's a little white lie. And that's because we feel an obligation to respond in a lot of cases that, and this is something that technology has enabled, this sort of constant connectivity.
Yeah, I remember begging out of a dinner once with a friend and then stupidly reporting on the great movie that I saw that.
That's fantastic.
Well, we've explored how technology lies to us, but are there ways that technology, in the case that I said, might actually force us to be more honest?
Well, one of the things about the internet right now is that it has a pretty long memory. And so if you're someone who might want to be dishonest on a resume, it might not benefit you to put something dishonest on the long-lived internet archive. So that's one thing that might indicate that some people are being a little bit more honest, knowing that there's information that is kind of more easily findable, there's a bit more of a record being kept of them.
All right. So when you think about deceptive technology and artificial intelligence 10, 20, 50 years from now, what might deceptive technology look like in that world with artificial intelligence?
Well, to be clear, I'm not necessarily advocating deceptive technology in artificial intelligence. I think that it's an extremely complex question, and it just really goes back into, you have to ask the basic question, how human do we want our technology to be? Mm-hmm. And if the answer to that is we want it to be as human as humans are, then we as humans need to really get a better handle on what deception actually is and how it's used and where it's beneficial and where it's not. And I think that that's just the sort of question that needs to be discussed across the board, not just designers, not just computer scientists, but I think philosophers and ethicists need to get into the conversation as well.
Kate Green, a San Francisco-based writer who covers science and technology. She's co-author of Reality Mining, Using Big Data to Engineer a Better World. Kate, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you'll find a link to read Kate's article that was written for Pacific Standard called How Should We Program Computers to Deceive? There's a link on our website at wordofmouthradio.org. Stay with us for our conversation with Ryan Miller. He's frontman for the band Guster, which is going to be playing in Manchester this weekend. Guster blows in when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.